I'm doing my podcast.
All right, everybody, we are working our way through season two of Binge Talking. It's been great. The response has been incredible. I've had a lot of my bros on, but some of our more successful episodes have been women. I'm thinking about Laura Prolongo Shulman and our dog trainer, Shelby Semmel. So my producer, Matt, and I figured out why not bring in Anna Gilligan Lacey, my wife, the mother of my golden doodle Ryder. Oh my God, my mom's gonna be so furious when she hears that, but it's true. A lot of people ask me, what's Anna up to? We miss Anna on Good Day. What's she doing? So she's gonna bring us up to speed what's going on in her life, and we also actually cover some interesting ground about what it's like to be what's known as a fish widow, someone whose significant other goes to lots of fish shows and leaves you at home. So we get into that whole thing, and we actually, I think, learned a lot about each other when we did that conversation. So without further ado, Anna Gilligan Lacey.
From New York City, USA, welcome to the Fox 5 Podcast Network.
All right. Wow.
Hi.
What's going on?
This is my first podcast ever.
Is it?
It is. When you told me, you only told me last night I was going on the podcast. If I had had more of a heads up, I was going to sequester myself so that we wouldn't talk for 2 days.
Oh, right.
And then this would be
magical. We wasted so much good content in that 12 hours.
Sure did.
So, all right, let's ask the question on everyone's mind, at least on Facebook and who we run into in public. What's Anna Gilligan up to? I miss her.
Oh, why, thanks for asking. Well, I've been pursuing commercial acting.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm doing a lot of auditioning, and I have a lot of downtime. So I've really been exploring organic skincare and my Instant Pot.
Yep.
And, of course, just heaping affection on our golden doodle.
Such a good boy.
We got him soon after I left Good Day New York. So I was able to put all of my attention on him for a few months, which actually I think did make a difference.
Right.
Because he's a very good
boy. He's very
well
socialized.
Yes.
His second birthday is coming up. What's the birthday again? This is Ryder we're talking about.
March
our golden doodle.
13th.
March 13th is his second birthday.
And I do realize that this is super annoying to most people. So we should probably switch topics.
We'll get back to it. Whatever. It is what it is. You mentioned your Instagram life. And so you do these auditions. And it's been interesting watching you go through this whole process because it's a pretty thankless grind. Because you go out to these things. You do extra work. There's no money in it. It's sort of like hoping for a home run. But there's just a lot of monotonous, you know.
Correct.
Just grunt work into the whole idea of, you know, commercial acting, television
right.
acting. Where have we seen you? You popped up in a bunch of stuff.
Oh, are you referring to my background work?
Mm-hmm.
That has been quite the experience. I now see why there are shows about, most people call them extras, but now they have upgraded the term to background.
Right. Everything's going to get a rebrand to make it somehow more.
Right.
Fancy sounding.
So most of the time you're just like a back of a head somewhere. Or I did do some photo doubling for a new show that's coming out because I look a lot like the lead actress.
Mm-hmm.
So that was actually my most intense one because they had to do my hair like her. And I actually had to drive a car down a highway
right.
and keep turning around. The cops shut down the road and I'm a terrible driver.
Right.
And I was like, yeah, I drive. I have a license because I'd done a little photo doubling for her.
I love that when it comes to the boxes they needed you to check. That's like the most easy, obvious one skill to have, and you don't really have it.
You'd be shocked how many actors don't, though.
Oh,
so
really?
Many New York people.
New York, yeah, it's a New York thing.
But that was completely nerve-wracking, and I'm still convinced to this day they put a walkie-talkie in the car. So they were like, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, go. And they're like, you have to get up to 40 miles per hour, and then you have to slam on the brakes and turn around before you approach the cop. And I was talking to another photo double in the car because we were being the two leads. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so nervous. I don't know if I get, am I okay? And I'm pretty convinced to this day that they could hear all of that.
Oh, probably, for sure.
But they said that they could only hear if we hit the button. But I think
they
probably
heard
everything.
There was something in there for sure.
It was a little weird when I got out of the car.
Like,
so
they
then
were like, oh, thank God she didn't crash that car.
Yes.
She pulled a fast one on us. She
That's
pulled a
right.
slow one on
That's
us.
Right, because then we went to a second location to do it on a dirt road, and they're like, we'll have the Teamster drive it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So they knew.
You knew. They knew.
But I did one thing that was, you actually saw my face and I spoke on, I did The Daily Show.
Right.
I played a reporter.
Yeah. That was right after the election or something, right?
Right.
Yeah. Do you have a type that you get cast for? You know, like don't you get a lot of like, you know, blonde Fox News anchor woman or something, right? Or
that was playing that role.
That was right.
But I get a lot of young mom now too.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I booked a few things, but you know, I got an Applebee's commercial.
Mm-hmm.
That was good.
Oh right, you had like really sell having fun at the table.
And I did.
Yeah.
I did. So how are you gonna Chiron me on this podcast?
Anna Gilligan Lacey finally relents to be on Husband's Podcast. Season 2, Ep 3, in a desperate bid for clicks amongst our Twitter cohort. So how often do you get mistaken for Baruch Shemtov when you're just walking around the street?
All the time. I've really been downing that whey protein.
I thought you looked diesel.
I'm on a serious lifting schedule.
Yeah.
So, you know.
But it's funny. So the reason that I was thinking about was I dragged you to fish New Year's Eve.
Right.
Which we've done the past couple of years.
Do we have to do it a third year, though?
Yeah. Whenever I go to fish, everyone's like, oh, does your wife like fish? I'm like, no. It's like, oh, really? I'm like, yeah. It's, I don't need her to like fish. I love fish. I have friends I go to fish with. Like, I got fish on lock. This year was like, if you are married to someone who loves fish, you don't love fish, this was the worst year of your life because the Baker's Dozen. And then they had the temerity to come back to New Year's for 4 more shows. So I did 13 of 17 in 17, a Baker's Dozen.
Right.
Perfect. What was that like from the perspective of what's known as a fish widow?
I only became familiar with that recently. It's what would you call it? It's a fitting term.
Right.
You
right.
really do.
And it's usually, it's not always a woman, but it's probably usually a woman, you know, that's left behind for fish.
Right.
But not exclusively. But.
In fact, I ran into some other fish widows.
Right.
Walking the dog the night all our husbands were at
right.
fish together.
Oh my God, that's right.
I don't understand the fish obsession. You play the music.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to get a lot of hate for this.
No, I don't. No, you won't.
Because fish people are.
I don't need to convert anyone.
A bit random. They probably aren't listening to this, but
that's for certain.
I stand by that. They don't have particularly good voices.
Right.
And you, too, do not have a wonderful singing voice.
That's why I relate with Trey.
I think that is
and
part of it.
And I can shred air guitar.
You can.
Yeah.
You actually are so on
Thank
with
you.
Air drumming and
yeah.
air guitar.
Yeah, yeah.
I find that fascinating because I'm not sure you have the best musical ability based on singing, but you definitely have the rhythm.
I feel it and I know how to channel it. I just can't actually do it. Like, I played guitar for years, you know, like 20 years ago now. Out of college all
right.
the time before, like when I was just unemployed.
And you are kind of good on guitar. You picked it up when my dad wants to do an impromptu singing
session.
Oh my
God, I felt it that one time. That was so wacky, that like hootenanny
that was.
Thing we did with them. But you're right. I'm a very good air guitarist. I feel it. It looks like what they're actually playing. So
right.
so you've been to two fish shows with me.
I've been to two fish shows.
New Year's Eve past year.
Each time. See, I find fish exhausting because they're always doing the opposite of what you expect. So you say that they'll reward people for going to a show on a Tuesday night, not a Saturday
Sunday.
Night. Okay, yeah. Sunday night because...
Tuesday too, actually. That's Baker's
but
Dozen.
Okay.
Yeah, you're right. You're
so,
right.
So each time I go on New Year's Eve, mm-hmm. everyone's like, oh, bro.
It's always the 30th.
This was not the best show. The best show was 2 nights ago right. or 1 night ago. And
now, in Fish's defense, though, I brought you New Year's Eve. We wound up on the floor by an act of God.
Right.
During Yem at Yem SG, and you were asking me what you hashtag your Sandra Bernhard photo. I'm like, you cannot be talking right now during Yem on the floor at Yem SG. You cannot do this. And then you were like upset with me.
Okay. Here's the thing. Fish is really boring if you don't
I agree.
Know the songs. Even if you do know the songs, they go on 20-minute jams with no lyrics. And it's boring.
I agree. Here's the thing. I actually completely agree with you. The reason why every fish fan is the exact same person is you needed to have literally, like, not 10,000 hours, like 30,000 hours of seeping it in over decades,
see,
like,
that's,
truthfully.
That's what I want to say to you, is your case to me is, baby, you have to put in your 10,000 hours of fish to even like
but I
it.
Know you won't. I mean, you
no,
missed
I
that
know.
Window.
Just let me talk here. 10,000 hours.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't have to put in 10,000 hours to like something. If it's good, you should be into it on minute 2.
Wrong.
See?
Wrong.
This is a basic difference in thinking and philosophy
wrong.
Of life.
I'm just picturing that Trump gif in my mind.
See, I like a pop
wrong.
Song because a pop
wrong.
Song
yep.
has a formula
I like pop too.
That hooks you. Except You're, for you don't know anything current. You don't know anything current.
I don't know anything current. Right. Now that we're in an on-demand world, I just listen to Guns N' Roses and Fish on my, you know, either the Live Fish app or
right.
Spotify. I don't, yeah.
Here's
don't
another thing I'll say. When you do all of these shows, you don't really give me a break from it because you come home and you play Fish all day long in the apartment.
Right.
And I actually feel bad for a Ryder. I'm like, turn it off when we leave because it'll just keep going. And this
he hated
poor
Guns
dog.
N' Roses too, though.
Yeah.
Remember when I was prepping for MetLife?
Fish.
He hated it too.
Fish is very earwormy.
Yeah.
And before we went to New Year's Eve this year, I was like, oh, I'm kind of starting to like this. But I think it's just because it's playing all the time and it gets in you.
Right.
I also think that it taps into your desire to just put things on repeat in life. Like, there will be a phrase. For example, he heard someone say, George. The name George, but going,
yeah. Ernie's George. Friend George.
Right. Yeah. Ernie Anastas' right. his friend, George. So I went through about 5 months of life where we walked down the street, George, George. He does it nonstop.
Yeah.
Now he's going, hi, Ryder,
right.
to our dog.
Right.
And this is why his mother gets mad when we walk down the street. He goes, hi, son. Hi, son. He says things out loud
right.
with zero regard for people around him. But I think that's why you like Fish,
right,
because it's repetitive.
Right. Yeah.
And it just bangs into your soul.
Mm-hmm.
And you like that, and I don't.
Right. And I feel like you were more open to Fish the first New Year's, but now, like, you know, you just don't care. Right? You remember, like, you were like, oh, I like Harry Hood, I like Susie Greenberg, and now I don't even think you say, like, stuff like that anymore.
That's true. Because there was some excitement with finding something I could like and relate to. I was like, oh, this is funny, this is quirky, I like it.
Right. Like, when I explained to Hood, you're like, oh, no, they opened the milk.
When
Where
I found out it was actually from the perspective of a jug of milk, I thought that was so ridiculous and funny. Because I used to, like, what was the band that... They Might Be Giants.
Yeah, it could be it.
What was that the name of the band? Or was
that was
the okay.
band's name, yeah.
I think I like them. I like
Bare Naked Ladies and stuff
Bare
like
Naked
that.
Bare Naked Ladies, yes. Yeah. I like those quirky, lyrics sometimes.
Right.
And Susie Greenberg stuck
yeah.
with me. But every time you take me in person, also too, you and Fish, it's like, have you ever known someone who's like, this is a funny story? It is never a funny story. You're like, no, this is really good. This is a really good GM quote. No, you're really going to like this.
Right.
And the setup is too big.
Yeah.
It's been forced on me too much.
Right.
Now I'm just rebelling.
I hear you.
You sound defeated.
No, it's just, you know, like, I don't.
I'm making some good points and you're realizing.
No, I'm agreeing with all of it. It's just like, you know, when I'm at Fish and, like, I see my bros there, but, like, it's wife's night on New Year's Eve, I'm like, oh, man, we were so much further into the place last night, you know, because, like, we didn't need to explain anything. We just could look at each other and know it. Like, oh, man, we're raging so hard right now.
Well,
and it wasn't like I need to tell Henry this is,
maybe
you know.
The takeaway is you don't have to explain it to me, because I think the explaining, I liked it 2 years ago, I think, when we kind of just did our thing, and I got how everyone just gets really trancy, because
right.
you just kind of do that noodle dancing,
yeah.
and the lights are doing some rhythm.
Lights are amazing.
And there's
the
balloons.
New Year's Eve, the spectacle this year was incredible, right? Do you remember that? Like the
yeah.
balloons and all that?
Yeah, and they had the pulsing
RFD,
bracelets.
Yeah,
I mean, it's... I see how people can get into it, but I just couldn't do it more than once a year.
Fair
enough. And you don't watch Bravo TV, so we're even.
Oh, I absorb more Bravo. I absorb 20,000 hours of Andy Cohen. I have never got a Snapchat from you that's not Andy Cohen in the background, that's not Pump Rules in the background, that's not Relationship. I know all. I know. Believe me.
You
I'm like,
what?
I got Fish level knowledge of Bravo TV secondhand smoke from you.
You know what? I'm done being shamed for liking Bravo. I really am. I agree. You work a full-time job. You come home. You get primary TV viewing.
Mm-hmm.
And I move me and all my Bravo to the back room.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? There's a lot of podcasts. There are amazing radio shows that break it down that I get such joy
radio
out of.
Radio Andy. I love Sandra
Reality
Bernhard.
Checked. Amy Phillips on Sirius.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I like Radio Andy. You know... There's a community of us, and we have things to say, too. Just like you have things to say about Fish. to each their own. Are you Snapchatting me right now?
IG stories.
And that's that. There you go. Boom. Podcast. Now I'm just playing to the camera and it's really bad. But you get it.
Let's keep going with the scintillating conversation. Let's talk about organic skincare for a moment, if you will.
Oh, my God.
This is your new obsession. So how much time do you spend on Instagram? Like, as much as me, right? Like, seven hours a day, right?
So much.
Yeah.
I didn't understand Instagram for a long time. I remember I was working here, and I would talk to the makeup artist in the morning, Alex, and she would tell me about Instagram. She's like, no, it's great. It gets you inspired for working out and food. And
right.
I just didn't get it.
Yeah.
And I was so exhausted by social media. But now, I say to you, it's the most effective advertising to me of anything.
Any ad that pops up in my Instagram feed, there's a 50% chance I'll buy it. They know exactly what you like.
Yeah, and even just personas. You watch their stories. Yeah. You trust them.
Right, now that they made it into Snapchat, it's very effective.
Right.
Like, I don't even bother with Snapchat anymore. I just do the stories and, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. So, organic skincare, it really plays into all my neuroses about health and being worried about it all the time. So I grew up in a household like that, we went to the food co-op.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Park Slope, Brooklyn, very crunchy parents. We went to the Park Slope food co-op before that was a thing.
Like, you were in Park Slope like 20 years before, like, now people pay millions of dollars for Park Slope. Like, you were ahead of the curve there.
Right.
So now we're up to speed on what you're up to.
Right.
And I guess if anyone who's still with us at this point cares, how did we meet?
Tens of people.
How did we meet?
We met at work.
Mm-hmm.
Very scandalous, potentially, but it wasn't at all.
Yeah, it wasn't. It was actually very well handled. I was on the mornings and they moved me to nights 5 years ago.
Right.
Yeah. It was when I went from 4:30 a.m. to 5 and 10 p.m.
Yeah, so I was the new entertainment reporter coming in. You had apparently Googled me and thought I was in a relationship, so you did not.
That's a frequent outcome of a Google on you back in the day.
So I didn't think you had any interest in me except for the fact that on day one you knew my name. No one else knew who I was. I was
psycho alert.
I was just sitting at a computer. You're like, hey, you're Anna, right?
I specifically remember that was at the point when I was 4:37. I would pack a lunch and I had this salami sandwich, which I would never eat now. I packed a healthy lunch. I've got a rye, salami, mustard sandwich.
Did you really remember that?
I remember that too.
You were sitting with your legs.
It had like a lot of like salami in it too. Like, it'd be like.
And I remember looking at that and being like, huh, interesting. It was cured meats and it was like a white Kaiser roll.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. Right.
It was white bread.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Those hours are crazy for you. Like, we both did them. I did them for a decade. You did them for a few years. Like, the early morning shift, props to anyone who does that, because it takes years off your life. No BS. Honestly, it's horrible for you.
So it's been 2 years since I worked here, but I think I look younger because I now sleep.
Yeah. No, your body starts attacking itself when you do that whole like early morning, like cortisol, fight or flight, stress hormones.
And then I forget what that hormone is called. It makes you never feel full. So that's why you do all that.
Constantly eating garbage just to keep medicating through the day.
So anyway, we worked together, and you were always very nice to me.
Yeah.
And then the only way that I found that maybe you liked me was one day I was walking off set, and there are prompters that are reflective when they don't have anything on them.
Right.
And I saw in the reflection that you looked at my butt. And that was
busted.
But I never would have thought otherwise.
I think I was checking my script. So I
don't know. You were very gentlemanly, I never would have. You never gave me that vibe when you were just talking to me in person.
Right. So then when we got married in October of 2015, and then we got Ryder after that, and you weren't a dog person before Ryder.
That's true.
Right. Isn't that crazy?
I'm actually embarrassed that I grew up with cats, and I used to like have that discussion in seventh grade. Like, no, cats are so much cooler.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you would like get into that proverbial debate, and now I'm just embarrassed that I ever took the cat side. Although I love cats, I see that a dog is actually can be like a human.
Right, like, it's crazy. Like, how much we put so much into that stupid dog, but like,
I know,
but we get like everything back though. Like, he's incredible.
I know. I really annoy my sister when she's talking about her child.
Her sister has a child. Like, I don't know. Ryder was funny at the park today. He's like,
Yeah, she'll be like, Wesley loves balls and music. I'm like, oh my God, so does Ryder. I have to squelch that every time I'm talking to someone with an actual child.
No, I know.
Because at first I thought it was cute, and now I realize there's nothing cute about it. It makes a mockery of their child.
Right. But it's not meant that way, but I get it. Like, I've always been a dog person, but it is, I feel like we both are self-aware enough to know, like, I can remember what would seem insane to me, you know, and I would now view myself as an insane person if I saw myself 10 years ago.
Right.
You know, with talking about the dog as if it's like, my son. My mom gets furious whenever I call.
Oh, that's right.
I call Ryder my son, and she's like,
you're talking awfully loud. Well, we're in public, Steva. She calls him Steva. Steve says his mom is the only person on earth who makes nicknames longer.
Right. Exactly. A nickname for my mom is longer than the original word, and it's said in a Mass accent, which is the funniest thing on earth.
You need to have your mom on this podcast.
Totally. Totally.
One of the best things she ever said to me, just as
I'm an only child, and my mom's an only child, too, which makes it funnier. We never say words to each other.
She's so... That is true. When she comes to visit, they can just sit in silence, and I just nervously talk to fill dead airspace.
Yeah.
I've stopped doing that as much, but she said to me, you know, Anna... My whole life, no one has ever said to me, you have a nice voice.
That's right. Yeah. I don't have a great voice either. Like, I got my voice from her. We can't sing. It sounds like hell. You know.
You have a good talking voice.
Yeah, though. It's all right. But, I mean, it's like, no, she's right, though. There's a sharpness to it. And then you put it in a ridiculous Mass accent. It's just a nightmare.
I love it.
Are you verified on Instagram?
I am not.
Oh, crap. You can't plug this in your stories.
I'm not verified on Instagram. I'm not verified on Twitter. I got rejected from Twitter when I applied.
Oh, right.
And I was still working here, so I don't know.
Yeah, it's tough these days with the bots and whatnot. I think they're making it harder. All right, will you promise to plug this on your social media?
I do promise.
Okay.
I don't know what good that will do you, but I will try.
I think it'll do a lot. I think there's a lot of remaining interest in Anna Gilligan.
Lacey.
Anna Gilligan Lacey.
It's Anna Lacey.
Right.
We are distantly...
Oh,
distantly.
Yeah. Tell that story before we let everybody go.
So my uncle is the family historian, and when we sent out our save the date, it said Anna Gilligan and Steve Lacy, and he said to me, you do know, he's Southern, you do know you are descended from three lines of Lacy. And I was like, what? What do you mean? How far back? And he said, well, ask him if he is of English descent of the Lacys or some, I don't know, Ireland.
English.
And he is English.
So we're like brother and sister, basically. And
when I said that to you, you were like, I always thought there was something familiar about you.
Mm-hmm.
Must have been why you were just drawn to your distant cousin.
Go figure.
It goes back to the 1600s. It's okay.
I want to say something to you that I only say to most of my male guests. I love you. I used to say, I love you, bro, to them, though. But I mean
it. I love you, too.
I love you.
You say, you call me bro sometimes, too. I had to stop that.
Yeah, you get furious when I do that. I love it. I mean, it's a term of endearment. But
thanks for having me on. I feel honored.
Is this exciting?
It was very exciting.
You never saw the podcast area?
I haven't. It's actually, it's very nice.
Matt Onimus's lair.
It's very nice.
This is the hardest working guy in this building right here. He's doing all his podcasts.
You say that often. He wears many hats.
Mm-hmm. It's just to cover his bald head. keep him fed in lo mein. He'll keep the mic running.
Love
all right, thanks,
it.
Baby. As long as you promise to plug this, we're good. I think it's been good. So everybody who hears this, who is wondering what Anna Gilligan Lacey's up to, that's the update.
What's your social?
What's your social handle?
Okay, I'm... at Anna Gilligan on Twitter. Or no, at Anna underscore Gilligan,
there, yeah.
Which you said is a terrible handle.
Right.
And on Instagram, I'm Anna Gilligan.
Oh, that's good.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, baby.
Thanks.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. This episode was recorded, edited, and mixed by Matt Onimus. Our executive producers are me, Matt, and Ahmad Asgar. Our vice president of news is Byron Harmon. And our vice president and general manager is Lou Leone. Binge Talking is part of the Fox 5 Podcast Network. I'm Steve Lacy. And if you have any questions or comments, feel free to hit me up on Twitter at Stephen Lacy with a V or on Instagram, Steve Lacy, STEVELACY. In the meantime, stay tuned for our next episode.